Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. 2010 has been a big year for Brian Brake, which is in itself fairly remarkable given Mr. Brake passed away in 1988. New Zealand's only member of the prestigious Magnum Collective of Photographers, Brian Brake created iconic images both here at home and around the world for much of the second half of last century. This year sees a major exhibition of his work at Te Papa, and next Thursday, Art and Object will be auctioning selected vintage photographs from his estate. Ben Plumley from Art and Object joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you.
2010, why such a big year?
I mean, the timing of what we're doing coinciding with the Te Papa retrospective is probably not occurred by chance. And I think, you know, the owner of these photographs is the artist, his partner, his lifelong partner, his widow. And I think it's been a massive process for him organising and being involved in the Te Papa exhibition. And, you know, I think he feels a great deal of responsibility to uphold Brian Brake's legacy. And at the same time, you know, he has been left with a number of prints, not a huge amount, and they're just sitting there. He's got them in climate-controlled storage, and I think he just felt that the time was right.
So, yeah, is that what the meaning of a vintage photograph is that these are not new prints from...
These are not new prints. So every single print that we have offered in the catalogue, Brian Brake either printed himself or oversaw the printing process. I mean, the definition of vintage print is a little bit of a problematic one. Generally, it's regarded as something which was printed by the artist within around a 5-year period of the negative being made, and there's no way for us to be sure that happened. But the vintage really is a designation in this instance in a market as nascent and as really as small as New Zealand photography market that these were printed during his life.
How big a deal is that the prints were produced either by the artist or under his supervision in this market for photographs, which is to say it's quite a young one?
Oh, I think it's a massive deal, you know, and I know that prints are being produced by Te Papa. You know, the entire archive, all of the negatives were gifted by Brian Brake or by his partner after Brian Brake passed to Te Papa. And from that, they are producing kind of modern prints. But really, for me, although the quality will be good, that's more like a poster or a screen print. You know, these are the real deal. And internationally, the difference in the photography market, where regularly photographs sell for, you know, $1 million plus, the difference between what that educated market will pay for a vintage print, which the artist was involved in printing, and what they will pay for a posthumous print or a later print by the artist's estate, you know, just so, so far removed.
Do they look different to the untrained, you know, eye?
Yeah, well, look, you know, I've been pretty closely involved with photography and the market for photography years, and in saying that, I wouldn't say I've got a great eye for that type of thing, but I can tell the difference. Whether, you know, Mr. Joe Punter can or not, I'm not so sure. But for me, when I went through the exhibition at Te Papa, and I looked at those prints and I compared them with the prints that we had, despite the fact that in a lot of cases our prints were 30, 40, 50 years older, I felt like our prints were of far superior quality.
Mm. It's like going down, getting your photos done at the chemist, isn't it? Versus having something that was done a long time ago, and it's, as you say, someone spent the time sitting there in a dark room, getting exactly the sort of exposure they want.
Yeah, totally. And I'd say he was a fairly fastidious sort of technician, and he exerted, you know, an amount of control over the way that he wanted his prints to look. And I think that really shows once you get in front of those images.
I was just going to say, let's just talk about Brian Brake a little bit. We say he was New Zealand's only member of the Magnum Collective.
Yes.
What is the Magnum Collective?
The Magnum Collective was a group. I mean, if you sort of rewind, you know, probably the best place to start is at the starting point in our catalogue, which is sort of circa 1948, when Brian Brake takes up a position at Spencer Digby, which was a portraiture studio in Wellington. And there's five works, all of which are portraits in the show. The most notable one is probably the early portrait of Sir Edmund Hillary. And from there, he spends an amount of time working in portrait, and then he goes into filmmaking with the National Film Unit, makes a film called The Snows of Aorangi, which is, I think was made in 1950, New Zealand's first Oscar-nominated film, another fact about Brian Brake that people don't know.
And Have you seen it?
Many like that. I've seen footage of it, and yep. You can access it on the internet, yep. And I believe they've got it playing at Te Papa, or you can access it through there. It's very, very beautiful, very visual, very photographic. But, you know, obviously it's a film, it's a moving image. And then from there, I think, you know, he heads overseas and he finds himself in the middle of the golden era of photojournalism. And he, you know, he is invited to join the Magnum Group, which is headed up with people like Robert Carper, Henri Cartier-Bresson, you know, the most famous names in world photography. And from there, you know, he spends an amount of time adhering to their to the strictures of how they thought photography should be. And Henri Cartier-Bresson's, you know, famous statement is that, you know, it's all about the decisive moment. You know, it's like the photographer in the wild, you know, hunting that great shot, being there at the exact moment in time. And that was what photojournalism was about. And the wonderful sort of exemplar of that, this in the catalogue and in Brian Breaks Earth is this Picasso at the bullfight, where, you know, he's working with the Magnum Group. He's on location in France, working for National Geographic, Time Life, whoever he can get the great shot for. And they get wind of the fact that, you know, Picasso is going to the bullfight in Valoris. And all of them hair down on their Vespas or whatever they were on the time, whatever romantic notion you can summon up in your head. And, you know, en masse to go down and who can get the great shot of, you know, the master of 20th century painting. They get there and they get in there and Brian Brake runs out of film, apparently. And, you know, he says to the other photographers with him, you know, hey, mate, do you mind if I borrow a bit of film? And they say, look, sorry, mate, you know, we're all after the classic shot. And, you know, if you forgot your film, you forgot your film. Bad luck. So he gets out of there, you know, heads down to the equivalent of the local corner store or the dairy or whatever it is, gets some film, comes back, goes to get in the bull rink, and he can't get back in. So he climbs a tree outside the bull rink and takes some of the most iconic images of the 20th century. And they find their way, you know, to the cover of many of the, you know.
It's interesting, though, because we now know that Robert Carper wasn't above creating his own moment. And that's also the case with Brian Brake's most famous photo, the Monsoon one.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, well,
which I don't think detracts from them as works of art.
For me personally, I think it gives it greater contemporary relevance. If you look at where photography's at today, you know, it's very much about the photographer now functioning more like a cinematographer or a film director, you know, working with props, working with actors and actresses, creating whatever scene that they want. So, you know, Brian Brake really is a forebear to that.
Yeah, let's explain that for the listeners, the creating of the Monsoon photo.
Well, it's a pretty wonderful story. It's a photograph of a beautiful young Indian girl. I imagine she was maybe 14, 15 at the time, called Aparna Sen. And I think she went on to become a bit of a superstar of Indian or Bollywood film. You know, she was a famous Indian actress. And apparently, there is some dialogue. Recently, there was an anniversary of the image being taken, and they tracked her down. And, you know, she was saying that, you know, he really directed her. You know, he knew exactly what he wanted for that shot. The shot is not an image of her face, you know, beautifully capturing the first of the monsoon rains like it was pitched at us. You know, he's got a studio assistant. They're standing on a stool or a ladder, sprinkling water onto her face with a watering can. The stud in her nose, although it looks like a traditional Indian nose stud, has just been stuck there.
It's glued on because it's glued on. She had a pierced nose.
She didn't have a pierced
he
nose.
He chose the colour, apparently.
That's yeah, it. That's right. And you know, so, you know, the whole thing is a construct, a fabrication.
How are those early? You've got a couple of shots in there, a beautiful one, aerial shot out at sea, and then one of my favourites, an aerial shot of Bondi Beach in the 70s, 60s or 70s, which if you look really closely, you can see the little topless sunbathers and stuff there.
Yeah.
Were they done from helicopters? What were they?
Well, firstly, I haven't looked that closely, but... I mean, I think the other thing is the wonderful thing about the collection for me, and I think, you know, New Zealanders are sometimes, you know, quite good at doing this. And I think Brian Brake has been dealt a little bit of a bad hand in this country, and maybe that's why he's went overseas. I mean, he was marginalised by being a photographer, and then I think he was re-marginalised by the photographic community by A, being so successful, and B, being a photojournalist. But when you come into touch with his exhibition, you realise that he is one of the most artful photographers in this country. Those shots are so prescient, and you know, the shot you're referring to of Bondi or Tamarama Beach from the aerial perspective is just like a lay down mazier for the German photography, which is so in fashion at the moment. People like Andreas Gursky, whose photographs sell for millions and millions of dollars. This is Andreas Gursky, you know, 30 years before.
Now, we've sort of run out of time, but I just wanted to point out the auction is next Thursday at Art and Object. If you're in Auckland, I presume you take phone bids and internet bids and all that sort of stuff as well, don't
yeah,
you?
That's right. Yep, you can even send us your carrier pigeons.
Artandobject.co.nz is the website, but you've also produced a lovely book, one of the nicest, I think, ever catalogues, essentially, which it stands in itself as something that you can buy if you can't afford the thousands of dollars for some of these photos. $39.95
for
the selected vintage photographs from the estate of Brian Brake, a catalogue, but beautifully bound in cotton hardcover, I think it is. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Really, really nice. So thank you very much for your time. Hope the auction goes well next week.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
It's Ben Plumley from Art and Object. For all the information on the Brian Brake auction next Thursday, pop along to artandobject.co.nz, while the Brian Brake exhibition, which is a free entry at Te Papa, is on until the 8th of May next year. And's well worth a look. After the break, while sustainability matters, whatever your view on climate change, and we have a peek at some new tunes from Pikachunes.